Do you want to set your child up for success? Is tutoring out of your budget, or perhaps you're someone like me who just wants to save money on private tutoring? Is this a big school year for your child? You know, maybe they're starting kindergarten or middle school. Maybe there's another milestone coming up. Or maybe your family moved. Oh my gosh, I moved so much when I was growing up. And the kids are starting a new school. Or maybe your child is ahead and just not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is here to help. IXL Learning is a fun online learning program for kids covering math, language, arts, science, and social studies. It's powered by advanced algorithms. IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's right, it is school approved. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And How to Be Fine listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/fine. Visit IXL.com/fine to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Again, that's IXL.com/fine.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
The following podcast contains barnyard language and some adult content. So, maybe listen on headphones if you're at work or around small children. Now, here's the show.
Hey, Jalenta.
Yes, Kristen.
It's been 1 week since we lived by the new plant parent, and you know what that means.
It means it's time for another By the Book mini episode.
That's right. It's time for another By the Book epilogue. This week, we're looking at the aftermath of living by the new plant parent, Develop Your Green Thumb and Care for Your House Plant Family by Daryl Chang.
But before we get to that, Kristen, we have to announce the winner of our hashtag How to Be Fine photo contest.
Yay!
If you remember a while back, we asked you to post photos of yourselves on Twitter and on Instagram reading our book, How to Be Fine, in a place that made you feel fine, using the hashtag How to Be Fine. So we randomly selected one person who posted a photo, and they are going to win a dog-eared, notated copy of one of the books that we have lived by here on By the Book. And our winner is... Thank you, Kristen. Red Hat Nat. Congratulations, yeah! Natalie.
Red Hat Nat.
We
love your name, by the way.
Up.
Nice
we'll
handle.
DM you. I know, isn't that so cute? Nat probably has a red hat, for sure. Natalie, we'll hit you up on Instagram. We'll DM you. We'll get your info. And you will get one of our really mangled books.
Congratulations to Red Hat Nat, but also thanks to everyone else who posted. We loved your photos so much. We loved them all. We loved the dog photos. We loved the photos of you sitting in hammocks. We loved the photos of you reading in the park. We loved your easy chairs, your beds. We loved the photos of you.
There was
you
even a fire escape. And keep an eye out on our Instagram. Today, we will repost the winning photo and share some of the other entrants because their photos are freaking adorbs.
They're so, so great. And hey, if you haven't already gotten a copy of the book, get one. It really will make you feel fine. And Jolenta and I put so much love into it. It's a Valentine to all of you who listen to the show and all of you who are just curious about our backstories, because there's a lot of that in there too.
Yeah, check it out. But Kristen, let's get back to our epilogue, shall we? It's time to talk more about new plant parenting.
Yes, yes. We got a ton of mail about this week's book. I mean, just crazy, crazy avalanche of responses. Loads of you posted photos of your own houseplant babies on our Facebook page. If you're not already a member of the Facebook community, be sure to join at facebook.com/groups/BTBpod to see everyone else's photos and to post your own photos. All you have to do to join is answer a few little questions. That way we know you're not a robot.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, college essay type questions or anything. Literally just like, you're a person, right?
And what is your social security number?
No. Yeah. And the last four of your credit card.
Yes, yes. Just those questions.
Easy peasy. All right. Let's get on to actual responses, shall we?
Yes. Let's start off with people who are glad we lived by this book, starting with Pat. Pat says, I'm so excited that I actually read a book before you two lived by it. I'm a brand new plant parent, and this book gave me a great start. The most valuable thing I learned was that my house is not a nursery, and that the reality is that I will not be able to provide a professional level of care. Instead, my plant and I are on a learning journey together as we figure out how to make the most of what I have to offer.
Love it.
Oh, I love that. That really gets to the heart of what Daryl Chang says in the book, that, you know what? Your plant's not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. It's really about your relationship and enjoying what you have together.
Yeah, it's hard, but house is not a nursery, and that's okay. We also heard from Dana, who said, I have been wanting to get some plants to liven up my home office in recent months. I think we all have. I feel I finally have the time to care for them, but my one prior attempt to keep a plant alive back in college failed, so I felt unsure of myself. This book sounds like the exact thing I need, with its tone of encouragement and love rather than emphasis on perfection. I can hardly wait to read it.
Yay,
yeah.
Dana.
And Dana, yes. Can I say, please know that just as we grow, like, you're always going to be better at keeping a plant alive now than when you were in college. Like,
you're going to be better at everything after college.
You're
going to
be better
real.
At breathing now than you were in college.
Like, better at moderating your alcohol intake. Yeah.
I got a plant in college my freshman year. My roommate and I, like, barely kept it alive. And then when we went home for Christmas break, we decided we'd, like, stealthily plant it on campus somewhere. And, like, 2 minutes later, we walk by and a maintenance, like, groundskeeper person is, like, throwing our little plant in the trash and it dug it up. Like, college plants, like, RIP everyone's college plants.
Yes, yes. It's not just you, Dana. It's most college plants, yeah.
Let's get on to people we heard from who were not so sure about this book. People who don't think it's the answer for them.
Yes.
Angie says, after listening to this episode, I still have zero idea of what a foot candle is or how many foot candles each of my plants need. Is this because I live in the 99% of the world that uses the infinitely more reasonable metric system? Is it because I don't know what a lux or a lumen is? Who can say? But it all sounded very confusing to me, and I'll be fine if I never hear Kristen utter the words foot candle again.
Angie, first of all, I want to reassure you, this has nothing to do with the metric system versus the system we're on. This is just a language of people who work in lighting design and in plant nurseries. This is a technical term, and it has nothing to do with Jolenta and I using screwed up terminology. And I'll also say this, Angie, anybody who works on the system of feet and inches like we do, unless they work in those fields, also don't know what a foot candle is. Jolenta, I still don't know what a foot candle is. I just got the app on my phone that Daryl Chang told me to get. And then the app told me if I had too many or too few light candles based on the little scale he had in his book.
I just imagined a foot light like on a stage and pretended I was in a spotlight. So that's what I did.
I love that idea. I love that. So Angie, when you think of foot candles, either just A, get the app like I did, where your app does all the work for you and you don't have to actually know what it means, or be like Jolenta and just enjoy the fact that you're on the stage. Enjoy that spotlight.
Just be delusional and a narcissist. Yay.
We also heard from Lisa, who said, Jolenta mentioned that she put some moss around her succulents, hoping to help with what sounds like a spider mite infestation. Repotting is a good move, as is separating the plant from other plants, but generally moss will hold water and succulents do not like to stay wet. Being wet makes them stressed, and stressed plants are more vulnerable to pests. Did the book recommend this? I think she would have had better luck with a few applications of neem oil or insecticidal soap.
Well, Lisa, no, the book didn't.
Don't blame the book. It's not the book's fault.
Lisa, it's okay, because the moss left like 2 days after I replanted, because I was like, I think this moss is doing nothing for nobody. I'm realizing the moss was there because it was sent to me. These succulents were sent to me by my mother, and the moss was probably to help keep them moist in transit, and then I kept it on forever. But the moss is gone. It went in our compost. It was also really dry. It looked like Tinder. I don't know. So anyway, moss is gone, and the book didn't recommend it, so don't blame the book for my mistakes.
It's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. Also, moss is really pretty. Mm-hmm, I think moss is just, you know, if somebody sent me a plant and it had moss on it, I'd have a hard time parting with it too. Yeah, moss
is
beautiful.
I love those little Japanese moss balls that float in water. I'm all about moss.
Oh, nice. Well, that's the Oregon in you, right?
Mm-hmm. I like a moss. I like a fern. I like a houseplant, like many of you all. We heard from so many listeners who wrote in to tell us about how houseplants make their lives just freaking better.
Yes. Maddie, for example, says, I've already had a couple of plants in my house, but when quarantine started, I got really into plants. It's been so grounding to have something to care for every week and be able to see their growth as time goes on. I also found a lovely houseplant community in my city, which has been a great added bonus.
Houseplant community, I want that. But I guess yeah. I feel like anyone outside of New York or Brooklyn would be like, all of Brooklyn's a houseplant community. Get over yourselves. So, you know. We got this great letter from Allie, who says, when I was going through divorce, one of my friends suggested that I get some houseplants to add some beauty to my house and help my overall mood. She warned me that I might not be able to stop once I started, though. And she was right. As someone who grew up with only fake plants in the house, I had no idea how much real ones would improve my life.
Yeah.
I love a real plant.
Yes, me too. I think that's one reason why we give them as housewarming presents and one reason why we give them to people when they're sick. It really does boost the mood, right?
I feel like there are studies I've heard of, but I will not quote them because I don't know.
Angie says, my pitcher plant helps with the fruit flies this time of year. For those who are not familiar with them, pitcher plants are carnivorous plants which have prey-trapping leaves filled with a digestive liquid. Whoa, Angie, that sounds, wow. That's like a Venus flytrap sort of thing, I guess?
They're different. They look sort of like a cup. And then the little flies sort of go in, and then they get stuck in this like sugar water. It's like if you ever make a fruit fly trap out of a beer bottle or something, where you leave a little liquid at the bottom and they kind of can't get out of long necked things. And if you look up a pitcher plant, it's sort of this long sort of scoopy thing.
Love it. Oh, that's so great. What a great way to do pest management.
Yeah, so smart. Andrea says, I'm a Southern California native, accustomed to sunshine and summer weather year-round. Living in the Northwest with our cold winters can be really tough. I found that having a lot of large, leafy, tropical indoor plants keeps the weather from being intolerable.
Oh, yeah. I gotta say, Andrea's pictures of her plants, they really look giant and tropical. Mm-hmm. Those leaves look like they're bigger than like the pillows on my bed. The leaves are ginormous.
Cool. You know, I'm now thinking, you know, the school I went to my whole life did a lot of things wrong, but they had, because we were in Oregon. There's tons of rain everywhere. So we had to spend a lot of time indoors. And they did have like large, large potted plants that look like Andrea's on Facebook. And it was where like we'd all like hang out in middle school, like sit around this giant plant. It was probably because like we gravitated towards like the good vibes or like the oxygen it put out because like we were stuck inside.
Oh, so it's beautiful. Smart. I mean, those plants are beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like being in Jurassic Park, but in your house.
Yes. What kid doesn't love that?
Okay, so while you think about being in Jurassic Park but in your house, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to hear some stories about some specific members of y'all's houseplant families.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America, NMLS 407249, Equal Housing Lender, loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Are back with listener responses to the new plant parent. And now let's hear about some of your most treasured house plant family members, beginning with Amelia. Amelia says, I have a mint plant named Lazarus, so named because every time I think I've killed him, he comes back to life. I just cut back all the way to the soil and leave him alone for a few weeks, and then boom, he comes back. But also, Lazarus might be a murder mint because he shared a window box with several other plants over the past few years, and every other plant has died permanently.
What? Lazarus?
Murder mint. He's a murder mint.
I had a mint plant that I named Minty, and he died permanently, and now I wonder if it's because, like, he hated his name so much. Maybe if he had a cool name like Lazarus, he would have come back.
I gotta say, Amelia, mint is known to be pretty invasive. It will, like, go anywhere it possibly can and kind of take over.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Unless it's Jolenta's Minty. But
then Minty gives up.
Yes. But mint is famous for doing that. So it's just in Lazarus's bones. It's in his genes. He's just supposed to do that, right?
Yeah, it's true. I want to read you this one from Heidi because there's some invasive plants up in this letter too. Heidi says, we used ivy plants as the table centerpieces and then wedding favors for our guests at our wedding reception. Some of the ivy cuttings were descendants of the original ivy plant that my grandfather bought my grandma in the 1960s.
Oh, I love that. 60-year-old plants that were bought in love.
That's
are
so
now
fucking
being
cute.
Sent out into the world to celebrate love some more. That is such a great thing.
If That's you can so precious.
Have something that meaningful where you can continue and mm-hmm. put the meaning forward to the next person. Love
I
that.
I love it. And like secretly force meaning on all your wedding guests. I love a secretly forced meaning.
Ginger says, when we first moved to Hawaii and were looking for a house, we looked at a lot of model homes and some of the new developments, and a lot of them had this beautiful plant with dark green leaves that were purple on the bottom, and I made a mental note that the plant was a someday plant. We finally found a house out in the country, not in one of the fancy new developments. Our yard was mostly weeds. One day, I woke up and looked outside, and our neighbor had put a bunch of potted plants in our yard, and one of them was the purple plant. He ended up being the sweetest man, and that plant turned into a big tree in our yard. He passed away 13 years ago, but that tree always reminds me of him.
That's so sweet. Why is everything so sweet today?
Oh my gosh. These stories are all kind of tearjerkers, aren't they?
Really beautiful. I really do like that. I don't know. I feel like plants for me at least are really, it's really easy to remember who gave them to me as opposed to like lots of other things. But like for some reason, that always really sticks. And so it's nice to like think of people you love.
Yeah. And to be able to.
Or neighbors you love.
Yeah. And like the idea that a plant can be around after somebody dies is gone is just. I love the idea that the things don't stop living. Things don't stop growing. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I've told you this before, Jolenta, but Dean's grandparents, or I think it was great-grandparents, when they immigrated to New Zealand from the old country, they had some plants with them. I think they were violets. Mm. And those violets have been passed down in the family from home to home to yard to yard. And now Great Papa's gravesite has some. He died when he was 103. And we planted some there too. So they have continued from the old country now for over 100 years. And so, yeah, they really can carry on some love and some memories and some history. So, yeah,
that's so beautiful. Amanda also wrote us about this plant. She says, I have this wacky Christmas cactus that is from my grandma's enormous plant and in one of her pots. I think at this point it's 15 years old. The OG plant survived after she passed, but it died not long after my grandpa passed away 5 years ago. It felt like a full circle moment. The plant's owners have moved on, but its descendants are still strong and healthy. Oh, so sweet again. Plus, I love a Christmas cactus. They are very cute.
They're so beautiful. I'm scared of them. I'm scared I'll kill them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to be maybe two more levels up in my plant parenting to get to be confident enough to do a Christmas cactus. But they're beautiful.
They're tense, but they're cute.
Now, Jolenta, we do have to point out that while a lot of you loved sharing stories of your houseplant babies, there are plenty of you out there who just are not houseplant people. For example, Darcy says, my mom is great with indoor plants, but me, I kill anything I try to keep indoors. I'm great with outside plants, though, and went back to school to study urban food production and sustainable agriculture in my mid-30s. Now we live on a small farm, so I garden a lot. But I still can't keep houseplants alive.
Darcy, I think keeping plants alive outside is a great feat and harder for me, in fact, but that's just me talking. I'm impressed regardless. So
I'm so impressed. And you can eat your plants. I mean, I can't. I mean, I love you, Pothos. I love you, Philodendron. But I can't eat you. I can't eat you. No. But you can eat what you're growing, Darcy. That's very impressive.
Maddie has a completely different reason for why houseplants don't work for her. She says, I gave up on houseplants because my cats refuse to leave them alone. I now have fake succulents on my kitchen windowsill. All other plants are on the deck or in the yard, out of reach from my terrors. It's a shame since my screened porch is begging for plants.
Oh, Maddie. Mm. Yeah, cats, they're the boss. They're going to do what they want to do.
They run your household. That's why I have dogs. I run his life.
They think you're their employees, you know. Mm, that's what cats think of you as. But
and they're like,
I will
this
say,
cat toy's fun. Now it's on the ground. And it was a plant that you bought probably. And it's a mess because it pop broke. That's my cat impression.
I will say this, though. Some of my friends who have cats, they're really into hanging plants. Hanging plants that are very out of reach for the cats.
Yeah, like, it still has to be out of reach, though.
Yeah, you can't have a hanging plant next to, like, let's say the dinner table where the cat can jump from the dinner table to the hanging plants. But, you know, just in an area where the cat cannot jump up to the hanging plant. So that's what a lot of my cat friends do. And it allows them to have plants and have their cats. And nobody's going to die that way. All right, let's move on to Judy. Judy says, after years of giving me house plants that I could not keep alive, my mom gave me a painted wooden plant sculpture. I've managed to keep the sculpture alive for 20 years.
Yeah. I like it.
I don't know if you know the term, Jolenta, photanicals, but some people I know in the florist world used to call them photanicals.
Oh, like a faux, like faux. Like,
yes. Yeah. Like maybe you don't need real plants around if they cause you stress, if you kill them, if they make you sad, if they feel like too much of a burden. You can have fake ones. If they make you happy, why not?
For
Go for it.
For sure. Or like maybe it's time to bring back the pet rock. I don't know. But we're all lonely and not all, and not all of us can keep a plant alive. So, okay, Kristen, we're going to take one more quick break. But when we come back, we are going to hear about how many listeners of ours name their houseplants like myself.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
We're back. And now let's talk about names, Jolenta.
The name game.
Yes.
Plant, plant, bobant, banana, fana, fofant. we put up a survey on Twitter. Reminder, we're at By the Book Pod. Please follow us. We asked, do you name your houseplants? We got a whopping 133 responses. And the numbers are in. Kristen, would you like to read the final result?
Yes. 32.3% of respondents, like Jolenta, name your plant babies. That's right. Nearly a third of you name your plant babies.
But that does bring about the disturbing realization, Kristen. Okay, so not only did 56.4% of respondents say they do not name their plants, because the survey said the question was, do you name your plant babies? 11.3% of respondents claim to not even know what plant babies are.
Oh, come on.
So I'm not sure we can trust these results. And you know what a plant baby is.
You know what a plant baby is, people. Don't pretend you don't know.
I don't care if you're one of the 2/3 of monsters out there who don't name them. I'm joking. Please don't get mad that I called you a monster. I'm sure you have some reason I totally don't understand for not naming your plants.
In defense of myself, Jolenta, the one time I did name a plant, R.I.P. Audrey, she died.
Well, although, you need Audrey too.
To go back to what we were saying earlier, though, I will say I was in college when that happened.
Again, what have we learned about college plants? Like, they live to die to teach us. That's our next tank top. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Well, thank you to everybody again who wrote in this past week, who shared photos, so many beautiful photos. Continue to share them, please.
Truly,
on Twitter,
get on the Facebook page.
On Insta, on Facebook, everywhere. Yes, it's beautiful. So thank you, everyone. And now, Jolenta, it's that time.
Oh, yeah, it is for sure time. It's the time when we announce next week's book. And
yes,
our next book is...
Five Ingredients, Quick and Easy Food by Jamie Oliver.
What if I would like to use 7 ingredients?
What if I only want to use 4?
What if I prefer to make things that are difficult? Because let's be real, that's what my therapist says. I make everything.
Listen next week to find out.
And that's it for this mini episode of By the Book. Huge, huge thank you to our amazing production team at Stitcher. Brandon Nix, our producer. Daisy Rosario, our senior producer. Andy Christens, our editor. Chris Bannon, our chief content officer. Oh, and thank you also to Nate Wyda. He composed our theme song. And thanks to the Rizzos, they perform this version of it.
Please stay in touch. Let us know if you've lived by the new plant parent. Also, send us any questions or suggestions for future books for us to live by. Our email address is kristenangelenta@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at ByTheBookPod, at Jolenta G, and at Kristen Meinzer.
And don't forget, we have a phone number. You can leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on many episodes like this. This isn't a good example because we don't have voicemails in this episode, but you've heard them and you know how they work. Leave us a voicemail at 302-49-BOOKS. That's 302-492-6657.
And please rate us and review us in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. It helps other people find the show. Rate us 5 foot candles or 5 lumens.
Or 5 ingredients.
Whatever they are. Yeah.
Like next week.
And if you haven't already, tell a friend about the show. Tell a florist about the show. Tell a horticulturalist about the show.
Tell
somebody
a lumen
who kills their plants about the show.
Until next time, I'm Jolent Greenberg.
And I'm Kristen Meinzer.
Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Stitcher.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America, NMLS 407249, Equal Housing Lender, loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.